and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. About 3 hours south of here, members of former President Donald Trump's team say they found more documents labeled as classified, this time in a storage area. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
This revelation is the first indication classified materials might have been held or might still be on site at other Trump properties. The searches were reportedly conducted around Thanksgiving at three other locations: the president's golf club in Bedminster, Trump Tower in New York, and in a storage facility at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate.
Other documents were found at Mar-a-Lago back in August after Trump representatives said there were none there. The power is back in most of Moore County, North Carolina, 4 days after a shooting attack disabled two power substations. CBS's Mark Strassman says there are concerns about more attacks.
The Department of Energy reports roughly 70 intentional attacks on electric facilities just this year. CBS News has confirmed recent physical attacks on substations in Oregon and Washington, and a series of specific threats in California from domestic violent extremists that will likely remain a threat to the electricity subsector through 2023.
CBS News has also learned there's been a shooting at another Duke Energy facility in Ridgeway, South Carolina. Duke says nobody was hurt, there were no outages, and the utility says it's working with the FBI on the investigation. It was 81 years ago.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
A remembrance has been held at Pearl Harbor for the nearly 4,000 military members killed in the Japanese attack that day, the attack that pushed the U.S. into World War II. A handful of survivors were there. The Coast Guard has its first female commandant, four-star Admiral Linda Fagans, the first woman to lead any military branch. She spoke with CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
How do you think your role as the first female commandant has changed things?
I met a young 8-year-old, and she's like, I'm going to join the Coast Guard, and I'm going to be a commandant. And she doesn't have to wonder if this might be possible. I embody that it is.
The two women have sued Apple, claiming their former partners used the company's AirTags to track and stalk them. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
What do you want Apple to do?
I want Apple to make their devices safer or remove the product from market.
Lauren found the device in her case because she has an iPhone and it alerted her. But people who don't have iPhones have to download an app and check it to know whether they're being tracked. Apple suggests if you fear for your safety, contact law enforcement.
CBS's Lilia Luciano, and this is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL. Or steel.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. In the same way, the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. A journey like this takes commitment from you and me. A commitment to end poverty for good. Learn how you can help at children.org right now.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here's a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, December 8th. In Wood County, the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 8:45 at the ADRC CW in Wausau, followed by the board meeting at 9:30. The Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board will meet at 10 a.m. at North Central Technical College in Wausau. The Cranberry Creek Landfill Expansion Local Committee Negotiating Committee will hold their meeting at 7:30 a.m. at the Siegel Town Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Park Commission will meet at 5 p.m., the Human Resources Committee will meet at 5 p.m., and the Agriculture and Extension Education Committee will meet at 7 p.m. In Adams County, the Highway Committee will meet from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and the Fire District will meet from 6 to 7 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14 overnight under partly cloudy skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 34. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. Lows level off around 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us during the lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And a reminder that if you like our show, tell your friends about it. We're growing. We want more people to be part of the conversation. And we can only do that if you share how much you love this show with everyone in your life. Greg seems very excited that we played that song.
Could leave right now happy.
So he's a trumpeter?
He's a flugelhorn player. Get it right.
Oh, sorry.
That is Chuck Mangione. His phenomenal track Feels So Good off the album of the same name, which was, by the way, 45 years ago, released tomorrow.
Wow, that's some trivia for you. Why do I know that song?
Because you've heard it in every elevator, every doctor's office, dentist's office.
I feel like it's like a TV show theme song.
I'm going to ask Jane when we go to break, can you play it like further down the track? Because I feel like you're going to recognize it more because that's the intro.
Okay.
I recognize it,
but I feel like I saw it in like a TV show or like a movie.
The meat of the tune happens like in like minutes 4 to 6.
How long is this song?
I think it's like 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Back in the day when you could have a 9 minute song on the radio and play arenas on a flugelhorn.
That's so the DJs could go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
There you go.
But can we call this then the Feel So Good Hour? I don't know if we're going to talk about Feel So Good.
Well, the next topic is not so feeling good. That's not a real sentence. But should you, with the advent of Ring cameras, mm-hmm. and all of these new devices for security.
Yep.
Ultimately, you on your property can now feasibly film your neighbors.
Yeah.
Should we be able to do that?
I don't think so. And this is someone who owns a Ring camera system.
Can you see, because Ring is more of the doorbell, it's largely what I understand. I don't even know if we have a Ring, but it is to be able to see when packages get delivered or someone's like on your doorstep and you can see who it is. And so I guess feasibly you can see the house across the street, but it's mostly just pointing right at your door, right?
I also have Ring. I have a garage. I have a camera over my garage and on my back porch too.
Okay, so you do have one in your backyard.
So I can only see my back porch. On my Ring, on my garage, I can see across the street as well, a little diagonally. And then on my Ring doorbell, I can see across the street as well. I think you shouldn't be able to surveil your neighbors with if I went to someone's house, be like, hey, I'm like looking at my neighbors, that's not cool. If I'm just if the line of sight is happening, then there's nothing I can do, but I can't like
And it's interesting, like, how would you, because, so basically the reason why we're bringing this up is in Brookfield.
We are sponsored by Ring.
Yes, exactly. That too. So in Brookfield, there was recently a proposal that was trying to curb this. Yeah. And so, and it was rejected. So there was a rejection of a recently proposed ordinance, means that it, as for now, it's still legal for Brookfield residents to record their neighbors' homes with security cameras. And so there's been multiple complaints in Brookfield.
Yeah.
And it was brought by Alderman Mike Hallquist trying to say you should not, because of privacy, you should not be able to record your neighbor's backyard while their kids are swimming, which I agree with.
But does that mean then you can record your neighbor's backyard when there's adults back there? I mean, to me, it should be like, don't point a camera at your backyard or your neighbor. Like, you shouldn't be able to just have... With my Ring system, there is just spillover of my neighbors. I just can see them. I shouldn't be able to point a camera directly with the purpose of only viewing them. To me, that's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, and so this is what the ordinance, so had it passed, the surveillance ordinance would have been restricted to the how you place your recording devices. It's not saying you can't have them.
Yeah.
It's saying that they need to be, when they're pointed toward a neighboring property, and so it would have allowed common devices like a Ring camera, but it would have basically like prevented individuals from like placing the devices that would record the neighbor's backyards, homes, or like windows, which I don't know, but I guess it's also like, because what is considered public? Because you can film people in public, right?
You need to get their consent if you put it out there, though. That's why, like, when you watch these TV shows, they interview people, man on the street. You got to get their consent.
But this goes back to our initial conversation today, which was TikTok. Is like, I feel like when people are filming people on, like, the subway, and they just post it.
Yeah.
And can they get in trouble for posting that?
I mean, if someone filmed me, I could go and be like, hey, dude, you filmed me, take it off. That's, I mean, he can be like, no. And then I have to take it into my hands to do something about it. Most people aren't going to because they don't have the money or the time. But, I mean, when it comes, I mean, that's to me, like, it's not a different discussion, but that's a whole other part of the discussion. But as far as home security system pointed at my house, no. No, you can't. Sorry. There's no reason for you to be able to do that. That's not fair. That's creepy.
And why? Yeah, and I guess it's the point of like, why is this happening in the first place? Like, what is the argument of the homeowners that are pointing
they
security
feel
cameras?
Safe, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's Brookfield. Brookfield people don't know how to like just deal with their problems. They think everyone's trying to invade their thing. They probably think TikTok lives next door to them.
Oh God, calm down.
I can say that my mom lives there.
But it's just surprising to me because to me this feels like a obvious, you can record your doorstep, your backyard, like the entryways into your house for security purposes. Why on earth do you need a security camera pointed at your neighbor's yard or inside of their house?
You don't.
So I don't know why this, I don't understand why it was rejected and it failed in the city council of Brookfield.
I'm going to say a word, and it's not truly not a joke. Freedom. I mean,
is that what it comes down to? It's like you're infringing on people's freedoms to have security cameras on their house to point at their neighbors.
To me, and I apologize before and after the fact. I just insulted the great village and town of Brookfield.
Is it a town or a village?
I think it's both.
It's both.
It's both.
Oh.
Think of, just like Pewaukee.
Didn't know that either.
They rock too. Two. Electric Boogaloo. Those areas are very conservative, and conservatives tend to always like trumpet or cornet freedom about freedom for freedom's sake and freedom and all over my freedom. And if you try to tell someone in Brookfield or any sort of area in Waukesha County that they can't do something with regard to their freedom and or safety, they're going to raise a stink. And it's probably just... I mean, I don't know if it said anything in the article about if there were people there like screaming and yelling, don't take away my freedoms to freedom, my security freedoms, all my freedoms. But that doesn't surprise me that it didn't go through because people are going to, and people are with no reason are scared of nothing.
Well, it sounds like at the very end of the article, this is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, doubts about enforceability and whether it is the city's place to make the change is what caused the ordinance to fail.
I think you can have,
which I think is legit.
I think it's legit to a point. I think you can have the ordinance in place, and then if, say, I am the neighbor, like you are my neighbor and you're filling my backyard, and I find out and I somehow get proof, I should be able to report it to the police, and there should be consequences for that. It might be hard to enforce, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have something in place. It's like when people are talking about gun reform, like, well, it's not going to work. Well, then why? But we can still try to do something to help people. And if this little thing that, you know, if someone's saying, like, this person is filming my backyard and I have children and I don't want that, my local government should be there to help me to protect my freedom and my children and my safety. Because I don't know what, like, because the thing is, just because the person's filming me doesn't mean that person has the best in mind. For all I know, they're filming me for nefarious reasons. I have no idea, but they shouldn't be able to do that. That's creepy, weird, gross. Choose your word. I don't like it. Full of opinions today, folks.
Well, and the fact that they had neighbors that moved because they were so uncomfortable by this.
Yeah,
I mean, is that incumbent now on the real estate agent to point out when the house is up for sale? Oh, by the way, our neighbor likes to film your backyard.
No, they won't tell them that.
They definitely will not be telling them that. But
they won't tell you when there are murders there.
But it is interesting of, like, what level of government is responsible for this? Because, I think of in the, like, at what level, because we were talking about it, because of the Elon Musk.
It's my favorite kind of ice cream. I love a good Elon Musk.
That happened on Twitter, which on Friday night, which was the, you know, Hunter Biden pornography that was breaking the first amendment in the Constitution as far as Twitter not posting that during the 2020 election.
I like to call it Schmeckelgate.
But the idea that, you know, because there are now laws in place of unsolicited dick pics being sent, and you can't.
Can we say that in the air?
I think so.
I'm going to say that like every show now.
And so it's like, at what level of government is responsible for protecting people's privacy? And maybe it's not the, like, city council. Maybe it's a state thing. Maybe the fact that it's been introduced, it will then be raised to a higher level of government that is their place. But it does feel weird that you are legally allowed to film your neighbors.
It to me sounds like a place. What you do is a good old thing you call start somewhere.
Well, I think yeah, I don't know, it's certainly not. I also try to think of, in the time that anyone has to then go and watch, like, having that much footage.
Oh, that person has a room dedicated. There are 15 screens.
And they
claim to know where Hunter Biden's laptop is.
That's a whole other topic that I'm debating whether or not we broach. What is the obsession with Hunter Biden?
Would you call it a laptopic? I'm the funniest person in this room right now.
You are. I would say you're on fire today. You got a lot of one-liners.
I've had some stabucks, and it's. I think you start somewhere. You start city level, and if it goes through, and then someone sues and say, like, hey, the city has no. All right, where does it go from there? But people are guaranteed privacy from the government. Yes. And I don't want to say that this is a Fourth Amendment issue, but I do believe that this is an issue that someone can take up.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, would you buy the Goonies house if you had the money?
Yeah.
Yeah, me
too. Of course
too.
I would.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.
Protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bag and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split. I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit and ain't never coming back. But before I keep it going, I got to.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have an idea for a topic or a guest, or you have feedback,
unsolicited praise.
Yes, we love that.
From the 262, great job every day, Kristen and Jane. You guys need a billboard.
I would love to have a billboard.
I'm sorry.
What? And Greg.
No, they didn't say me. I don't want your pity. Hey, 262, I'm part of this too on Wednesdays.
Thank you, 262. We love that.
I came up with tall potatoes.
Tall potatoes. 844-967-2789. Or you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
I do agree you need a billboard.
I feel like if we got a billboard, I would hire you to write the pun to make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Yeah.
All right, so.
You're just expecting me to do something right there and then?
No, so maybe kind of. Yeah. You let me down a little bit. Remember last year when we found out that on Airbnb you can rent the Home Alone house?
Yeah.
Or you can stay in the Home Alone house, and I forgot how much it cost. But I remember that was, I think, last year around Christmas time. There was big news. Well, now there is a fan who has bought the Goonies house.
Which one? There are several houses.
This is in Astoria. Hey, you guys. We talk about Ani DiFranco being influential in my teenage years from music.
Yeah.
Goonies was probably one of my favorite movies as a kid.
I saw the movie in the theaters. I feel like it was important for me to see it in the theaters at that age. Because I was that age.
Oh, you were their age as far as the kids.
I was around that age. I mean, maybe a couple of years younger, but still I had that, we rode our bikes till all hours of the day, just all over the place. We had no plan. We just rode our bikes. We played.
You
knocked on someone's door and you're like,
did you ever have a treasure hunt?
Probably to.
Did you ever find a hidden pirate ship?
No, we just found Playboys in the woods.
Barry?
Not Barry. They're right there.
They're right there.
Yeah.
Did you take them?
Of course we did.
Someone was very disappointed when they came back for their Playboys.
Where's my woods porn?
All right. So the Victorian era home in Astoria, which is also known as the Goonies house.
Okay.
And someone's bought it. And so they basically bought it in order to protect it and not have it be torn down or changed. But they wanted to keep it in the essence of what that movie was, and it was listed for $1.65 million.
I was just gonna say, how much was that house?
And an offer was accepted 6 days later, and I don't have that kind of money, but if you're that big of a fan, kudos to you to spend that to preserve
that's
history.
Amazing. Whomever it is out there who did that, god bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
But yeah, certently that movie to me is, what do you think it is about that movie that makes it so timeless?
A sense of adventure, a sense of friendship, fighting bullies. I mean, I'm forgetting their last names now. But the mom and the two brothers, they were bullies, especially towards Sloth. You know, that love, that, you know, unconditional love, chosen family. Like, it really does have, it does have a lot of great themes in that film. And what sucks, the only thing that sucks about that movie, I will say this, the only thing that sucks about that movie is that unless you saw it young, it doesn't have the same impact, which can be said a lot about a lot of films. But I remember a friend of mine seeing it, and she was in, at the time, her like mid to late 30s. And she's like, I saw Goonies for the first time. I'm like, what do you think? She goes, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, of course you think it's fine, because you are at this age now. You didn't have a Goonies t-shirt and a Goonies poster. I saw it at least once in the theaters, if not more. Fratellis, that was it, the Fratelli family. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that, you know, and it's a pure story. There's not all those people in the movie, all the protagonists are pure of heart. They're loving, they're family-based. Even though they rank on each other, they still care about each other. And it's, like I said, a sense of adventure, a modern day pirate's tale, if you will. I mean, it's just a beautiful movie. And it's just got great lines in it, too.
It does have some great lines in it.
And I challenge any person to watch that movie at the very end when Chunk says to Sloth, I'm going to take you home with me. You're part of my family because I love you. And he says, I love you, Chunk. Oh, my God.
What's funny about this is a couple of weeks ago, Mike and I were joking that for Halloween this year, especially if I'm pregnant, I'm going as Chunk.
Do the truffle shuffle.
Do the truffle
Come
shuffle.
Come on.
Do it. Have you seen Goonies, Jane?
Never saw it.
See, this is a good test. We could have Jane watch Goonies and see if you find it to be magical.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
You should
Please
check
do
it,
it
out.
I will.
We should report back. As you watch Goonies, and as an adult, if you like it or if you go, meh. It's fine. Because I think we did that exact same experiment with my mom had a theme night for the holidays, and an ex-boyfriend was there, and he had not seen it as an adult, and he, I don't think, was very impressed.
Yeah, but I get that. You know, I mean, I saw Top Gun for the first time about 10 years ago. It was fine. I saw Jurassic Park 3 years ago.
Did you see the new one?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Pretty good. It's better than the first one.
I didn't see Jurassic Park until 3 years ago, and I'm like, it's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
I'm going to keep thinking about Billboard.
Think of a Billboard pun.
I feel like I let you down now.
No, you got it.
God.
Just noodle on it.
Now I'm in my head. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I know you used to love me in every way, but now.
WAUK 540 AM. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The All of Us Research Program is asking for people to help researchers make healthcare more precise by creating individualized prevention and treatment options. When you join, you'll share your unique health information and become part of the largest and most diverse medical research program ever. The more data researchers have, the more they'll be able to create better care for all of us. Introducing the next breakthrough in medicine, you. Learn more at joinallofus.org/WBA, sponsored by All of Us Wisconsin.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, yet I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Clark County Forestry and Parks Department has announced that beginning on Wednesday, December 15th, all snowmobile and ATV trails located within Clark County public lands will remain closed until favorable winter riding conditions have been reached. They will monitor temperatures and conditions and update the public as conditions change. Reminder that UTVs are not allowed on Clark County public lands trail system from November 1st through May 14th. Feeding our communities with United Services, Focus, Neighborhood Meals has moved to their new location at 2321 West Grand Avenue, and all three services are now located under the same roof. The Focus Food Pantry and Focus Family Backpacks moved earlier this year. The meal program, formerly known as the Neighborhood Table, will serve their first two Thursday meals of December as to-goes, and beginning December 15th, meals will be served in-house. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14 overnight under partly cloudy skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 34. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. Lows level off around 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Or wherever you find podcasts, and you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And I'm so excited about our next guest because this is a program that Jane and I only found out about last week on air because we had Jen Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha's District Attorney's Victim Witness Program and the star of that program in the district attorney's office here in Waukesha is Pepper the dog. And Pepper is a dog who has been trained to help victims of PTSD. And what we found out in that conversation is that the program that Pepper came from is called, is from Journey Together Service Dogs. And it is a program that happens, one of the many parts of it happens at the Oshkosh Correctional Facility. And so we reached out to Brenda Cercioni. Did I say that right? Satterwhite, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. So welcome to the show, Brenda. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And so did I get that correct? Because I think when I was looking at the website, so there's part of the program that is in the prison, but it's also Journey Together Dogs is a larger training program and that is exists both in the prison and outside of it.
Yes, you're right. So the dogs, when they live at the Oshkosh prison, can't get enough exposure to things that would be needed for a service dog. So we have about 50 community volunteers that take the dogs out, give them exposure. Some of the dogs go to people's homes. Sometimes I take a dog and I take it to the grocery store. I take it to Lowe's or Menards or Walmart. They get rides in the car. They learn how to go through a car and a car wash. Pretty much anything you can think of that the average person would do that we want a service dog to be able to tolerate. The inmates at the Oshkosh prison, they spend their time training the dog, teaching it skills, and then our community volunteers are taking those skills on the road and testing them out to see how they do. So our volunteers do anywhere from a couple hours to a week or more that they take a dog and do different things with it. Other examples would be there's no squirrels in the prison. We don't have geese at the prison.
Yeah.
It's never completely dark. So the dogs don't learn how to just go for a walk in the dark. Because
That's so interesting.
Wow. Gosh, I mean, think about that stuff.
Yeah. And so how long is the partnership with the Oshkosh Correctional Facility, how long has that been going on?
Journey Together was founded in 2015, but we've had a service dog program at the Oshkosh Correctional Institution since 2012. So we've had service dogs in training there. We started out working with a different organization for guide dogs. And I say we because I've been with the program for the full 10 years. Part of the way through, we figured out that we had more capacity, more inmates were interested in participating in the program than the guide dog school was going to be able to put at our institution. So we created the sister program. Over time, our program grew. The guide dog school moved themselves to a different prison in the state of Wisconsin. So we just grew and we filled up all of the spots. We currently have about 12 to 14 dogs. Our capacity is 16 right now. And then we have 43 inmates that are participating in the program, either as primary handlers or we call them sitters, so that when the primary handlers aren't available, the sitters take the dogs. So the dogs are learning to work for a lot of different people. Over time, as our primary handlers graduate out of the program, maybe get moved to a different institution or get released, the sitters become primary and we have new people that come in.
And so how did this... Because it sounds, once I heard about it, I think both Jane and I go, and especially how Jen talked about it as far as the people who are in prison and the part of their rehabilitation is training these dogs that then go on to often work with either, you know, people who have PTSD, which is sometimes I think we hear a lot of that with veterans, but also people who were victims of crimes. And was that intentional as far as even for the inmates, like their healing journey and knowing where these dogs will, who these dogs will end up helping? Or what was kind of the origin of why it was important to have this be a program that was available for inmates?
So we've seen incredible dedication. Journey does not pay the inmates. The inmates are considered volunteers for the program. So they sign up, they're donating their time. They have to attend training classes. They work with the dogs in between. They're incredibly dedicated to the dogs. What we found in other states across the country, the recidivism rate goes down for people that have participated in a dog training program.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Our focus is to try to help them gain job skills. So when they leave the program, they may not handle dogs, but they will have learned how to do goal setting. They will have had opportunities to create training plans. They've worked with each other to train new people that have come into the program. So those are adult education skills as much as they are dog training skills. To get into the program, they fill out a written application. They go through an interview process. They go through an onboarding process. And then all steps through the program, they're writing reports on the dogs. If a dog is having a training challenge, they'll sit down and they'll build a train. They'll write up a training plan on how they're going to address the dog's challenges. So our goal is for them to have opportunities to practice skills that will help them. We talk about training at the prison is a team sport. It's not just about one person and one dog. So interpersonal communications, giving and receiving feedback, all key elements to what we're trying to accomplish with the dogs.
It just sounds so incredible. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She's responsible for training inmates, clients, and for dog selection within that program. And so when it comes to the actual, how long, I guess I've never actually answered this. So how many years does it take for a dog from being from a puppy to begin a certified service dog?
So we will take dogs as young as 8 weeks old into the program.
Wow.
We can, we won't place them till they're about 2 years old. And it really isn't about how long it takes them to learn skills as much as it's how long it takes them to become mature, and we know what their personality is going to be like. So just like a human, you need an opportunity to grow up, and not every career is for everybody. It's true as dogs as well. If we take an adult dog, which on rare occasions we do, but if we take an adult dog, we can have the skills put in place in about 6 months. So
wow.
Our puppies take a lot longer, and in the general, if we weren't dealing with a prison program, we wouldn't have a dog trained up that fast. These dogs are training 6 days a week with some sort of training experience, you know, deliberate training experiences. But everybody's dog is training all of the time. Every time they're sitting next to you, every time you take them for a ride in the car or you put their leash on, it's all training. The dogs are learning all the time. The advantage I have is I have 43 people that are using the same commands, the same terminology, and the same expectations. So from a dog's perspective, it's a very consistent world, and they can learn a lot faster because of that.
Brenda, you mentioned how important it is for the inmates to develop skills that are going to help them when they get out and hopefully help prevent them from going back in. I'm wondering about the emotional healing of working with animals, because I always assume that for some inmates, they came from really broken places and are very broken people. And I'm curious about the emotional healing that they get out of this kind of program.
Yes, they will talk about how much the program means to them, how dedicated they are, how the dogs have helped them. Some of them have had family members die while they're incarcerated, and the dogs have helped them through those kinds of things. It's also kind of an interesting experience from the standpoint of every 3 months we rotate the dogs. So whatever dog you have, you can expect you're going to get a different one in 3 months. And everybody says, oh, that's so that they don't get so attached to the dog. And it's really not. The reason we do it is when a dog succeeds, I have a lot of people that have been involved in the training of that dog. And as a team, we have a dog success on it. Likewise, if a dog is having some sort of a behavior issue, or, you know, they're just not understanding something we're trying to teach it, by giving them different handlers, sometimes the people just approach it different. And just like humans don't all learn exactly the same way, that's true with the dogs too. And by rotating the dogs, I can find holes in the training. And then one team to the next team can work on helping, you know, fill the hole in with the proper behaviors and stuff. So rotations are a lot about giving, giving up a dog, taking in another dog. And, you know, everybody who has a dog at home knows their dog is the best dog in the world. So now I have to give up the best dog in the world for a different dog. One of the other unique parts about our program is when a dog is ready to graduate, the person who's receiving the dog or the organization has the opportunity to come along with me into the prison and receive training from the inmates. So they have a chance to see where their dog is going to go, and they have a big hand in helping train the person how to handle the dog for the ultimate success. So while it's always bittersweet when a dog graduates because you're so proud that they're graduating, and at the same time, you hate to see them go, knowing where they're going, knowing the change that they're going to do in the world makes it a lot more worthwhile. At the same time, they're getting an opportunity to practice their education skills and communication skills and organization and planning and everything that goes into teaching any class anywhere.
This just sounds, I'm so happy Jen mentioned this. This is so incredible. And so for people who don't know, because I think, as you mentioned, there's guide dogs, there's service dogs. Is there a different classification of specially trained dogs that are fall outside of those two categories?
So people have a pet, right?
Yes.
They're a great dog, right? You can take them for a walk. There's certain stores that you might be able to take them in that are considered pet-friendly stores. Then another classification of a dog is a therapy dog, which my dogs are therapy dogs. So they're registered. I've gone through testing to demonstrate their skills. I can take them into a hospital or an assisted living location with permission of that organization, and we can go see elderly people. We can go see people in the hospital that are recovering from an illness, but they don't get to go to a grocery store. They don't get to go to a restaurant. Service dogs that are trained, and they, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, have the rights that they can go to certain public locations. So they can go to a restaurant. They can go to the grocery store. Those are working dogs with a very specific intent. For example, Pepper, we started by raising her to be a service dog. And what we found is Pepper had this extra sparkle or this extra interest in people beyond the person holding the leash. As a result, she became a facility dog. The best, closest example to that is she's a therapy dog because she is given approval to go to certain places. She doesn't get to go to restaurants. She doesn't get to go to grocery stores where the average population might take a service dog. When you see a dog in public, when they're a service dog, no matter how much we all want to pet them, you don't want to be petting those dogs. Those dogs are working, and you take their attention away from their handler.
Yeah.
And that's what we want the dog to do.
Well, we're going to take a break, but Brenda's going to be here when we come back because I still have so many questions. I'm so fascinated and encouraged by this entire program. And also, maybe I'll have a couple questions of maybe how I can train my dog. Does an old dog, can they learn new tricks? We don't know, but I'll ask you when we come back. Our guest is Brenda Sercioni, who is the director of training for and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She will be here with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. A playmate, a companion, he was love and understanding. That was Cracker Jack.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner,
child,
parent,
neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. 30 degrees. The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
My dear, though I spend my days in conversation, please remember me. Blossom, I love. Don't forget me.
Welcome back to Asgo's Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. And Greg, you had a question.
I had two questions. Okay. One, with regard to service animals, you were saying in the earlier segment that when, you know, as I know personally, you don't pet, you don't do anything. That's their job. They're working. When they get home with the parent, the dog parent, is it sort of like, can they play? Can they, you know, are they always on the job, or like when they get home in a safe surrounding, can the parent and the dog play around, wrestle, you know, throw catch, you know, like that kind of thing? Cause I only see service dogs in the terms of working, like they're straight ahead doing their job.
Yeah. When a dog is off duty, their vest comes off. It's kind of like a person when you come home from work, you change out of your work clothes and you change into your sweatpants or your sweatshirt or whatever you're going to do. And they get to be dogs.
Gotcha.
There's a few things that they won't get to do. For example, if you're eating supper at the dining room table, you're not going to feed them off of the table.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to think that when you go to a restaurant, they're going to sit and beg and eat off of a table. So they lose their right to beg at the table. they lose their rights to be on a lot of furniture. And they trade those rights for getting to be with their person pretty close to 24/7.
Gotcha. And the other question I had, and this comes from an experience I had at my other job where we had somebody with a service dog at our work. This dog seemed very anxious, was running around. And then at one point someone said, can I pet the dog? It was wearing a service vest and said, can I pet your dog? And I was like, oh my God. And the guy's like, yeah, go ahead, pet the dog. I'm like, is this either a service vest that was bought online to get a dog into an establishment, or did he undo the training? Is that possible to undo the training of a service animal?
It's very much a thing about undoing training of a service animal. So different service dog schools have different requirements. And in the United States, you're also entitled to be able to train your own service dog. So different people have different skills. When you see somebody with a dog with a vest on, it's important to not make any assumptions about it. So I'm not, your example, I'll come back to you, but I just want to talk in general. Our people who are in a wheelchair that receive one of our service dogs are never challenged in public. Nobody ever says, is that a service dog or not? Because they see somebody with a dog and they're in a wheelchair and they make assumptions, or if they were obviously blind. People who have PTSD look like everybody else. They don't have any outward physical disability. Similarly, somebody who has diabetes and has a diabetic alert dog or a hearing dog may not look to us like we, you know, they don't meet the standard of what we think a dog for somebody who with a disability should look like. So it's important not to judge it because you don't really know what's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act would say, though, that a dog in public has to be on, a service dog has to be on leash unless the task that it performs for you can't be done while it's on leash. So you should not see a dog off leash. That's a service dog in a public setting. under 99.9% of the cases. The rare exception would be a dog that's trained to clear a room for somebody with PTSD. So the person isn't comfortable going into a room unless the dog has gone through the room first. The dog can't do that if it's on leash. Journey does not allow our clients to have the dogs off leash for anything because we are concerned about the safety of the dog. And we believe that we can teach other skills to address wherever that need would be. Sometimes you're also dealing with young dogs. In the state of Wisconsin, the laws are such that a service dog in training has the same public access rights as a fully trained service dog. That's what allows me, as well as our community volunteers, to take the dogs into a restaurant. We don't happen to fit the, in most cases, we don't happen to fit the definition of somebody who's disabled. But if we couldn't take the dogs in those places, we couldn't train them for it.
Gotcha.
So sometimes you're going to see a young dog. Sometimes you're going to see a dog that's just misbehaving. They are animals, and they can be once in a while rotten. And that's
it ended up throwing up at the place I worked.
Oh, gosh. What does demand look like right now for the service dogs? As far as, is there a wait list or is there an excess supply of ready to serve dogs?
We should be so lucky to have an excess list of ready to serve dogs. There's always a wait list. Journey does this a little bit different too. We don't do first come first serve. We do best fit.
Okay.
So if the person that's on the top of our list happens to be very athletic and they're a runner and very active. And
I feel like you're talking to me right now, Brenda. You're talking to me right now.
I was using you for my image. Yes. Our dog is more of a couch potato dog. That's the first one. We aren't going to do that match.
Yeah.
Some dogs adore kids. Some dogs are really neutral about kids. So if it's going to a family with kids, we want to think about that. Cats, other dogs in the house. But like I said, we don't do first come first serve because we don't feel like we're doing a service to the family or to the dog.
So final question, because we only have about 2 minutes left. I feel like there's so many more questions I have, but for people who have been moved by this segment and would like to either learn more or become a volunteer or donate, where could they learn more to support Journey Together?
You can find, we have a website, journeytogetherservicedog.org. You can also find us on Facebook. And I think I sent you a link. There's a TEDx, an Oshkosh TED Talk done by somebody talking about the Journey program and what it means to them to participate in the program. So that would be another way to learn about what we do.
Absolutely. And we'll link all of that to today's show blog, and we'll share everything on here because I think this is just incredible. And I will ask, can an old dog learn new tricks?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do I do that?
You're staying for the rest of the show.
In 40 seconds.
In 40 seconds, because Cliffy, he'll sit. He will not shake. He just, as a Chihuahua, he just shakes his whole body when you say shake. So, Brenda Cercioni, thank you so much. This was so fascinating. This is an incredible program. I would definitely suggest anyone who loves animals, learn more about this, support in the ways that you can, because you're doing both a service for the people who get the dogs and the people who are training the dogs. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You silly girl.
Martha, my dear, you have always been my inspiration. Please be good to me.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of